Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. We finished up our study of Galatians last week, and it's Father's Day, and so I will give you a Father's Day message. We're going to read verses 6 and 7. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, and we will make a couple of references to some of the verses that go beforehand, but we'll not read all of the verses. We'll just read verses 6 and 7. And I want to speak to you this morning about leaving a godly legacy as a father, leaving a godly legacy as a father. Well, what are you going to leave for your kids after you're gone? After you're gone, are you going to leave a blessing behind? Are you going to leave something that they can build on? Or are you going to leave something that's really good and righteous after that you're gone? He says at the end of verse number 7, he says that his children are blessed after him. His children are blessed after him. So after this just man is gone, his children are blessed because of the life that this father lived. Solomon mentions three different men here that we're going to look at. Two of those men you don't want to be, and one of those men you do want to be. And so we want to look at those three men there. Avoid being two of these men and strive to be one of these men. Leaving a godly legacy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being our Heavenly Father, for calling us your sons. It's a privilege to be able to be called a child of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that we're here this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd lead and guide and direct. I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning. You can do what only you can do. Lord, I have no power like that. Preacher has no power like that. Lord, it's all because of you. I can just tell people what you say. I can relay the message to your people. And Lord, I pray that you enable me to do that this morning as we look at fathers. Lord, we pray that you would speak to hearts and open hearts and open ears and deal with people where they need to be dealt with and strengthen us by your word and by your spirit. Well, thank you for it. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, speaking of men, you could apply this to a woman as well, but since it's Father's Day, we will apply this to fathers. But he says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. There's a dearth of godly fathers in the United States of America. The reason that I believe that the reason that our country is crumbling before our very eyes is because it begins in the home. It begins with the fathers. Because when society crumbles, that means the home is crumbling. And when the home is crumbling, it's because the father is crumbling. Because the fathers are not taking up the slack in the homes like they ought to. It says in Micah chapter 7 and verse number 2, the good man is perished out of the earth. There is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Boy, if that's not a snapshot of the United States of America, I don't know what is. But that statement is true today as much as it was in Micah's day. There is no good man. I mean, they're few and far between. I remember a lawyer coming up to Jesus Christ at one time, and he says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. There is no good men, actually good men. Paul the apostle says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There are no good men. And like I'd like to say to you this morning, apart from the grace of God, and the good man is perished out of the earth. The reason that there are no good men in America this morning, or there are few and far between, is because we've left God. Because we've left the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is none upright among men because we have walked away from God. We've walked away from the Bible. We walked away from the truth of the Scriptures. And so therefore, men are becoming drunkards and fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and rioters out in the street and unfaithful men. Why are men leaving their wives today at an unprecedented rate? Why are men shirking the responsibility as a father? Why are they not keeping up with the responsibilities that God has laid upon us as a father? Why? Well, because they have forsaken God. They have left the Scriptures. They have left the gospel of the grace of God, and the restraining hand of God is being lifted off of the United States of America today, and men are being basically left to their own selves. And when men are left to themselves, we're just going to destroy ourselves. It's a fact of life. We're not going to get better and better and better without God and without the Bible. We're going to get worse and worse and worse. And the gospel is being replaced. It's being replaced by pleasure. It's being replaced by selfishness. And it's being replaced by pop psychology and worldly wisdom and all of these other things. And we have left this old antique Bible and antique gospel and all of that. We don't need God anymore. No, we have enough. We don't need God anymore. So there's a dearth of godliness and faithful men in America because we have left God. And as a result of that, we are seeing a lack of righteousness in our communities. And that's why our society is breaking down at this very minute, because we have left God's design for the family. And our society, for years and years and years now, has been trying to redefine the family. And they've done a pretty good job of it. They put it out on their TV shows and trying to redefine what a man ought to be and redefine what a Christian man ought to be. They've tried to emasculate the man and make him more feminine and not manly anymore. Same way with the women, they're trying to make them more manly. But fathers have become a casualty in the United States. They're not who they ought to be. We are not who we ought to be as fathers today. Our culture is trying to remake the image of a man into their own image. We don't like what the Bible has to say about what man ought to be, and so we will remake man into our image and the way that we think that he ought to be. We've left the definition of God's family, what a family ought to look like. We don't like that anymore. We're going to remake it into something else. Are you going to leave something for your kids as a man, as a father? You're going to leave some kind of good legacy for your kids to build upon? How are we going to avoid becoming a casualty of our generation, as so many men are today? Are we going to leave a godly legacy? How can we leave a blessing for the generation to come? Because it matters. It matters how we live. It matters what we're going to leave in the next generation. We ought to be concerned about the next generation and what they're going to think of us and how they're going to live their lives. Well, Solomon gives us three types of men here. We need to try to avoid being two of those types of men and strive to be one of these other types of men. What kind of men are they? Well, the first man that we see here in verse number six, we need to avoid being like most men. Because he says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. We see the boastful man. Most men are all talk. Most men like to brag and most men like to boast. That's what most men will do. He says it right there in the text. He tells us about the majority of men. Now, not all men are this way, but the majority of men like to talk about themselves, don't they? They like to say some things about themselves. They make a proclamation. Most men will proclaim. They preach it. They pronounce it. They publish it. They say it. They want everyone to know just how good I am. They want to talk about themselves. And most people do like to talk about themselves, don't they? read a statistic on a, I believe it's a website, scientificamerican.com, that 60% of conversations are people talking about themselves. Are you your favorite subject when you get into a conversation? Most people are. I'm no different. I'm not up here being a holier than thou, but most people do. And it gets worse than that whenever you get into social media. Social media posts are 80% about themselves. What are most of my social media posts about? Myself. My family, my life, my looks, my pets, my houses, that's what most people are willing to talk about. Most of the time we don't post about other people, do we? Most of the time it's about ourselves, and so we as Americans have become a narcissistic society. It's all about us, it's all about our lives, it's all about our goodness, and religion is no exception. Religion has become a Christianity has become a religion about me. And about selfishness and what's in it for me. And I'll come to church if there's something in it for me. We don't come to church to glorify God or help the brother and sister out. No, what's in it for me? And if the sermon's not about me, well, I'm going to go to sleep and I'm not going to think about God and I'm not going to think about how I can glorify God if what's in it for me. Proclaiming everything is about me. Now, Solomon says most women will proclaim their own goodness. That's moral goodness. Most men are going to say, yeah, I am a pretty good person. I am a good person. I am faithful to God. Hey, when the rubber meets the road, I am a good, faithful man. That's what most men will say. I'll do good and I'll do right no matter what. That's me. I'm the guy. I'm a good person. We think of the Apostle Peter. He did the same thing on the night Jesus Christ was betrayed. Jesus Christ warned all of his disciples. He says, all you guys are fixing to forsake me. You're fixing to walk away. You're going to leave me high and dry. What did Peter do? He proclaimed his own goodness. He says, oh, though all men forsake thee, yet will I not forsake thee. No, it's not going to be me. I'm not going to do that. I'm a good person. He was proclaiming his own goodness. Well, if you and I are going to leave a godly legacy, we're going to leave a blessing for our children, we can't be like most men. We can't do that. Why? Because most men boast about themselves. Most men, by the way, are spiritually bankrupt. They are. But God has called us as children of God to be in the minority. That's what he's called us to do. When God called out the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, he says, I want you to be different than all of the rest of the other nations of the world. You can't be like the rest of the world. You got to be different. I'm calling you out, Israel, to be in the minority. I'm calling you out to be my special people. And this specialness that God was calling them to was a moral goodness, a moral specialness. That's what he was calling them out to be. He says, you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I want you to be holy because the rest of the world is corrupt. The rest of the nations are idolaters, and you can't be that way. You and I, if we're going to leave something to our children, we're going to have to be in that minority. We can't be like the rest of the world. And God calls us out as New Testament Christians, and he says, you're going to be my special people, peculiar people, zealous of good works, good works. While the rest of the world is destroying society and destroying their families, you must be different. Don't be like the rest of the world. You and I must be in the minority. Are you in the minority, and am I in the minority when it comes to being a husband? Paul the Apostle, when he was speaking about husbands, he says, I want you to love your husbands and I want you to love your wives in a special way. He says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Whenever you love your wife, it's going to be something different than the rest of the world and how they love. Are you in the minority today? when it comes to loving your wife and being a husband? How about when it comes to rearing your children? Are you in the minority today? Paul the Apostle again gives an instruction for fathers. He says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You and I must be in that minority. We can't be like the rest of the world. We can't be like most men. You and I must be different. Well, if we're going to leave something good for our kids, we need to be faithful. Faithful as men. You can't be missing in action. You have to be available. Because Solomon mentions here the next man that we need to avoid, and that's the missing man. That's the guy who's not around when you need him to be around. He says in verse number 6, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" He's not around. Looking for the man, but he's not there. A faithful man who can find. Now, Solomon says everyone's willing to proclaim their own goodness. Everyone's willing to talk about themselves and say how good that they are. But really, when the rubber meets the road, a faithful man who can find. Faithful men are few and far between. You ever conducted a job interview before? Talk to those guys. Can you do the job? Do you have experience? Are you a faithful man? Will you be here every day? Will you be here on time? We start at 7 o'clock in the morning. Oh yeah, you bet. Know how to do the job. I'll be here. I'll be faithful. 7 o'clock in the morning. They might do good for a couple of weeks just to make kind of an impression on you. And then after a while, 7:30, they're not here yet. They're already asking off. And then it keeps on snowballing, and pretty soon they're nowhere to be found. You know, I used to work in heavy equipment. I used to run motor graders and bulldozers and all kinds of stuff. I can't tell you how many times that people would come out to the job site and say, "I know how to run that bulldozer. I can do it. Guarantee you. But I've got 20, 30 years of experience." Okay, you're hired. They come out. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to run it. They couldn't even hit the ground with a blade. They don't know what they're doing. Missing in action whenever work needs to be done. They said they had the skills to operate, but they don't know how to operate. You ever heard the saying, good help is hard to find? A faithful man who can find? He's not around a whole lot. He's missing. Same thing is said about the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You cannot leave a godly legacy. You cannot leave a blessing for your children whenever you leave if you're constantly missing and you're not around. You have to be here. You know, a lot of men are not around whenever work needs to be done. They don't want to go out and get a job. They just want to stay on the couch and do whatever, but they don't want to work. We find that in verse number 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. He don't want to get out and work. Missing in action whenever the work needs to be done. You know what the Bible says about a man who won't work? And by the way, a man ought to be out working. He ought to be out working. He shouldn't be staying at home, laying on the couch. We were made to work as men. That's why we're here, is to work. Now, Paul the Apostle said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. If you want to work, you need to earn your keep. You need to get out and work. But some men are missing in action when it comes to work. They don't want to be around. Get out and get a shovel. Get up and go to work every morning. Nuh-uh, not me. But a good man will work. And not only will that good man work, you know what that good man will do? He's thinking about future generations. What am I going to leave for my kids? What am I going to leave for my grandkids? Am I going to leave an inheritance for them? We find that in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 22. A good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. Works hard all of his life, and he says, man, I'm not only going to provide for my needs and for my family, but I'm going to provide something for my grandkids and my great-grandkids. That's what I'm working for. But some men are missing in action when it comes to work. that I want to work. Some men are hard to find when kids need to be raised. They don't want to raise the kids. Now, they're more than happy to be around whenever it's time to make a kid. But they don't want to father the kid when it's time to provide for their needs. They're missing in action. They're not around anywhere. Yeah, when it's time to change the diapers, when it's time to pay the bills, when it's time to actually step up and be a real man, they're not around. But they certainly want to make a baby. They just don't want to take responsibility for that child. It's estimated that 24.7 million children, 33% of kids, are living without their biological fathers. Why? They're lazy. They don't want to take care of the kids anymore. They're absent when it comes to teaching their kids. They're absent when it comes to taking their kids to church. Oh, take the kids to church? No, let the mom do that. I'll stay at home and play video games. I'm not going to go to church. Fathers are absent when it comes to mentoring their kids. They'll teach them how to be a drunk, or they'll teach them how to do something wicked, but take them to church? No, they're not going to do that. Why are our families in such a chaotic state today? The missing man. He's not anywhere to be found. Absentee fathers. It's the breakdown of what they call the so-called nuclear family that everyone's trying to change in America today. The traditional family. The God-ordained family. Trying to change that. Missing. Lack of faithfulness. And so there's a breakdown in society because of fathers. They're missing. They're not around. You know, I was reading Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel the prophet looked around at his society. He saw all of the wickedness that was going on in his day. You know what was happening in Ezekiel's day in their society? Well, there was shedding of innocent blood. There was idolatry. There was injustices against the fatherless and the widow. They were neglecting those who were in need. There was fornication and lewdness on every corner. There was theft, stealing, all of those things. And God says, I'm fixing to rain down judgment upon this nation because of the wickedness of man. And he looked all over the place to try and find a man. He says, man, I'm looking for a godly man. Someone who will stand in the gap, someone who will stay my hand from raining judgment down upon this place. And I looked and I found none. There was a missing man there. How about you here this morning? You're going to be the man that's going to stand up? You ain't going to be the missing man. You're going to be available whenever your kids need you. You're going to be available whenever your church needs you. You're going to be available whenever your brothers and sisters in Christ need you, because you ain't going to leave a legacy. You're not going to leave a blessing for your children if you're missing, if you're not there. We must be available. You know what we need to be? We need to be the just man. The just man. We find that in verse number 7. The just man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Well, unlike the boastful man and unlike the missing man, now we have the just man, and he's walking in his integrity. What's the just man? Well, the just man is the lawful man. The just man is the one who walks by the rule. The just man is not the rebel. The just man is the one who obeys the rule, and he walks in his integrity. Integrity means wholeness, without admixture of duplicity. That means that he walks the walk. That doesn't mean that he just talks the talk. That doesn't mean that he just proclaims his own goodness. That means that he gets up and he does something. That means that he lives his life according to what he says. He has integrity. If we have integrity, we must live by this integrity. And if you and I as fathers want to leave an inheritance to our children and our children's children, we must live lawful lives, and we must follow the laws of God and follow the laws of man. Can I tell you something here this morning? The rebel never wins in the end. He doesn't. You might be having fun right now, but it's going to catch up to you. You better follow the laws. You better follow God. That's the best life. That's the best life. We must live morally upright lives. Don't be like the guy in verse number 1. He got overtaken by alcohol and drunkenness. Verse number 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What did he do? He got into alcohol, and that alcohol overtook him. He's not going to leave a good legacy. He's going to leave a wake of destruction is what he's going to leave. Our children need to see that we live out what we profess to believe. Because if you and I model unfaithfulness in our lives, you know what we're going to produce in our children? Unfaithfulness. If you and I don't model fidelity to the Word of God, you're going to see infidelity coming out in your children, because your children are not going to follow what you say. Your children are going to follow what you do and what they see you doing. That's what they're going to do. And so we must walk, live our lives in our integrity. If we have integrity, we must live it out in front of our kids. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. And he was a man of integrity. And he got into a situation where he could have committed adultery with a woman. But he ran from the scene. And he modeled integrity. And he did not commit adultery. Now just think, if Joseph would have committed adultery in that situation, how would that story have played out? I doubt if he would have even been an example in the Bible of anything good. But he walked in his integrity. What was Joseph? Joseph was a law keeper. Joseph kept the law of God. He wasn't a rebel against God. No, he was a just man. So the just man walks in his integrity. Now, that doesn't mean that he's a perfect man. As a matter of fact, the just man, you know what he's going to do? He's going to fall sometimes. And he's going to fail sometimes. But if he falls and if he fails, he's going to get back up. The Bible says a just man falls down 7 times, but he rises back up again. He's faithful. He keeps on going. You know what else is true about a just man? He lives his life by faith. The just shall live by faith. You must live by faith. You think about all of the people in the Bible who have done something great for God. Hebrews chapter 11 and Hebrews chapter 12, those faith chapters. We read about people who did some great things. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, all of these men and women. What was the characteristic about them? Faith. They lived their lives by faith. The just shall live by faith. You and I want to walk in integrity. You must have faith in God. Faith in the Word of God. So fatherhood to us as Christians means something special, doesn't it? We know God the Father. We have seen how loving that He is to us and how God showed His love toward us. He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. That's the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ is a perfect Savior. The good news is that Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the 3rd day. That's part of what God has done for us. That's the way that He manifested His love to us. And because of Jesus Christ, we don't have to be like the boastful man that we just read about. That first man is going to proclaim his own goodness. We don't have anything to boast in. We don't have anything to proclaim about ourselves except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the only thing that we have to boast in. That's the only thing that we have to preach about is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our Savior and Jesus Christ is our wisdom. I don't have any wisdom of my own other than what I got from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own. Jesus Christ is my sanctification. That's what we boast in. That's what we proclaim. We have a great Heavenly Father. He's been good to us. He's been gracious to us. Let me tell you something else. Jesus Christ is the faithful one. He is perfectly faithful. He was never missing in action. I tell you what, when the rubber met the road, Jesus Christ was there. Came to the Garden of Gethsemane and it got hard. Jesus Christ was there. He didn't fail. When God looked down upon men and He tried to find a faithful man, He could not find one that was perfectly faithful. So you know what He did? He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the faithful one. Now God is faithful to us because of Jesus Christ. And now we can be faithful to God because of Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of the gospel. And now we are justified. Now we are righteous. Not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus Christ. And we can walk in our integrity because of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that He's given to us. That's how we put the gospel together with these men. That's how we do. As Christians, we have that light. Are you going to be the faithful man that God has called you to be? You're going to be a faithful father that God has called you to be? You know where you need to look? Not to society, not to the latest internet guru, but look to the Son. Look to Jesus Christ. That's where you're going to find how to be a good father. From Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.